You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Wednesday here on the North Shore Drive podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. We've got Ray Fittipaldo talking Steelers, and we're going to go over something that's been one of the rumor mill things around the NFL. A certain veteran quarterback the Steelers should try to get who's won a Super Bowl in the past and will most likely be available. That, NFL draft talk, and a lot more here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Let's get into it. You are now listening to the North Shore Drive podcast, a show on all things Pittsburgh sports from the writers of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, hosted by Christopher Carter. Hello, welcome to the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm your host, Chris Carter, joined by Ray Fittipaldo, talking all things Steelers here on this Wednesday episode. As always, you can find this show on your favorite podcasting apps and on YouTube. Like this video if you enjoy it. Subscribe to this YouTube channel to get all of the daily content that comes out from all of our Pittsburgh sports writers at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, as well as our Monday, Wednesday, Friday episodes of the North Shore Drive podcast. This show is brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. When you go to Mike's Beer Bar, you get to enjoy one of their 500 different available beers, 300 those local beers are local, and 80 of those local beers are available on tap. More on them later. Ray, let's talk a little bit about the rumor mills and things that are going around. We're starting to see one of the quarterback names that is getting attached to the Steelers more and more is Russell Wilson. And Russell Wilson, you know, he's won a Super Bowl championship, but hasn't really been the guy for the past few years, especially in his time in Denver. And it's obvious that with a $38 million cap hit against the Broncos this upcoming season, that he's not going to be someone that they want to keep around. When they're benching him left and right, he's 36 years old. So there's a chance that he could move on, but there's some people out there that are pointing at the Steelers as a potential target. Peter King, one of them, saying the Steelers, make a lot of sense for him. There's also Chad Ochocinco who says he's heard a birdie that the Steelers are going to get Russell Wilson. But you addressed this in your chat transcript, when you were talking with some of our readers. What's your opinion on the potential of getting Russell Wilson, however they do it?
Yeah. I mean, listen, would Russell Wilson at this stage of his career be an upgrade over Kenny Pickett? Perhaps. Okay. Probably even. I don't even go on a limb and say, yeah, for a one season thing, if you're looking at it just in terms of 2024, he could probably do that. But Chris, is he a guy who could take you deep into the playoffs in the AFC when you're going up against Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson? Man, I can go on and on and on. I don't think he's that guy anymore, to be quite honest with you. I mean, that would be the equivalent of, he's 10 years removed from his final Super Bowl win. Okay. That's basically.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, literally.
Actually 10 years removed from his final Super Bowl appearance, mm-hmm. 2014 to 2024. So think about it. That would be like signing Ben Roethlisberger in 2018, right? Okay.
Yeah.
And I would even argue Ben Roethlisberger in 2016 and 2017 was better than we saw from Russell Wilson the past 2 years in Denver. I think that's, I mean, that was Ben pre elbow injury when he was actually leading the Steelers to an AFC championship game and, to a 13-3 record in 2017. So, this is a year when the Steelers want to find out about Kenny Pickett. They invested a first-round draft pick in him. And I'm not arguing that Russell Wilson might be a slight upgrade over him, but okay, if he gets you from 10-7 to 11-6, do you still have a shot if you're going up against C.J. Stroud in a first-round playoff game, in a wild-card game? I don't think you do, so I don't see why you would want to do that. But, hey, other people have their opinions. It's something that's good to talk about in February and March, but obviously we'll have a clearer picture of what's going on here probably, what, 2-3 weeks from now when the NFL new league gets here and free agency starts.
Yeah, I think that's the other part of this is that there's a lot of this is speculation because we're kind of at a wait and see period where the combine hasn't happened yet. Teams can't make any moves yet other than unless they wanted to like re-sign a guy that's already on their team. You know, the aggressive moves haven't happened yet and people are trying to get out in front of what might be the aggressive move. And again, I think the Steelers situation is they're realizing that like, and then not they're realizing, I think they've realized and they've kind of, you know, settled in on, they're not going to most likely get a franchise quarterback right now. Like, you know, Justin Fields is a tough bet because you really get 1 year to prove it or you're signing or you're, you know, giving him a fifth year extension without knowing if he's going to be any good for you. And you know, you look at other, you know, other moves like Kirk Cousins, another guy that's way up there in his late 30s. You know, there's a lot of options that are on the table for the Steelers to try to get a quarterback, but none of them are like, hey, here's the franchise quarterback or a guy that can be a franchise quarterback and you have about 4 years to 3 or 4 years to develop him. There's not one of those open lanes for reasonable guys to do that. And we'll get to some of the quarterback draft prospects in a little bit here in the next segment. But I think the Steelers kind of know that. And that's why they got a guy like Arthur Smith who can build an offense around, you know, kind of mid, you know, quarterback play with Ryan Tannehill, like he did with the Titans, you know, building an offense that feeds off of a strong offensive line, some strong running back play, you know, play action that builds off of that and makes things easier for the quarterback. That's why they've invested in the offensive line. I think they know like, hey, it's going to be a bit before you find that superstar quarterback again. So why not build the way some of these other teams are building when they don't have a superstar quarterback like the Niners and say, let's get a really strong offensive line, a really strong defense, some good playmakers and a system that kind of gives the quarterback just game manager decisions to let the other guys make plays.
Yeah. I mean, Chris, it's just a really, really unique time in the AFC. I mean, I just rattled off all the quarterbacks. I didn't even mention a guy like Trevor Lawrence, who is still a very young quarterback, with the Jacksonville Jaguars. So, you know, it's almost like go back to – I thought the Steelers were very lucky when it was the Steelers. The Colts had Peyton Manning and the Patriots had Tom Brady and everyone else was kind of searching for the quarterback. Yep. But there were years in there, Chris, when Andy Dalton rose up and the Bengals made the playoffs over the Steelers. I think that happened in both 2012 and 2013. So teams are going to have their ebbs and flows once they find their franchise quarterback because their roster is not going to be as strong because you're paying that guy, right? So, you know, that's all part of the equation too. So, yeah, I mean, you know, unfortunately for the Steelers, they're kind of – it's the script has flipped from where it was, 10, 15 years ago. And they're in search of that guy. But until then, I think you're right. They have a formula for a way that they can stay competitive. And, you know, listen, it hasn't been a successful formula in the playoffs, but maybe with a new OC and maybe with some added pieces on that defense and also around Kenny Pickett, maybe it can.
Maybe it can be. And I think that's the bottom line is that the Steelers, you know, they're kind of looking at trying to find, again, the Steelers are operating with a model of how they want to build their team that, you know, teams that don't have the Patrick Mahomes, the Josh Allen, the Joe Burrow, that, you know, and how they're trying to build their team. I'd even say that's how the Eagles are kind of built around Jalen Hurts. And I know Jalen Hurts at times gets thrown into MVP conversations, but I think we've kind of seen that when the Eagles don't have, don't have supreme offensive line play and their defense isn't kicking, but Jalen Hurts can't carry a team the way that some of those other quarterbacks we named. I mean, even Lamar Jackson kind of fits into the picture above Jalen Hurts. So like, you know, I think the Steelers recognize like, hey, there's a way to win with the current situation that they have and a way to be really competitive. And I'm saying, when I say really competitive, I mean, be a team that can win a playoff game or two in a year. And if you can catch someone lacking, then you can make a run. You know, I'd even venture to say when Bill Cowher won his Super Bowl, you know, Ben Roethlisberger was a first round draft pick quarterback, but he wasn't a superstar at that time. He was very much like, hey, go out there and make the occasional play, but play to the system. Don't turn the ball over. Let the run game and the defense win for you. And I know that was 20 years ago, but that's the way that the Steelers won then. And I think that that's the way that some teams are trying to win now. And I think that if you're investing really big, because if you go get a Russell Wilson, if you're trading for him, you know, you're giving up something to get him. You're also taking on a really big salary cap hit. If you're waiting for the Broncos to cut him and signing him, how much are you paying for him? If Russell Wilson costs you $4 to $5 million a year, that's a different story. You're not dropping a huge investment on him, but making a big investment on a maybe quarterback is one way to further your ineptitude and your chance and take away the chances that you're trying to put together to build towards that future.
100% agree with you. And you're right. If Russell Wilson would fall into your lap and for whatever reason he would want to play on a lower contract, let's say he really likes Mike Tomlin, or let's say he wants to play in Pittsburgh for whatever reason, yeah, then maybe you would say, okay, come in here, you know, you can compete, you know, you'll start as a number two and then we'll see what happens. Yeah, why not for $4 or $5 million a year? But Russell Wilson hasn't ever signed those types of contracts, and
exactly,
there's really no evidence to suggest that he ever will either.
And that's where I'm saying, like, look, if a dream happens, if something falls out of the sky in your lap, absolutely, it's great. But I'm just being realistic and saying that that's probably not going to happen. But some people are probably wondering, yeah, but what about the quarterbacks in the NFL draft? We'll talk about that right after this next segment of the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Chris Carter, Ray Fittipaldi. But first, I want to remind you this show is brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. When you go to Mike's Beer Bar, they have over 500 different available beers. 300 of those beers are from the local area, and 80 of those local beers are available on tap. And when you get there, they have over 20 televisions, so whatever sporting event you want to catch, you can even reserve a TV with that specific sporting event. And I mean any event. They got Duquesne basketball that you can reserve a TV for and find a way to get there while you're enjoying your favorite beers. And they always got new types of beers every single day that they're changing in and out to get you new experiences every single time. They also have great food like Steak on a Stone, where you choose your choice cut of steak, have it brought to you on a heated stone, and every time you cut off a piece of steak, you press it into that stone, you choose how well done you want every single bite. It's the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. Go to Mike's Beer Bar today, and when you get there, tell them Chris sent you.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Back here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Chris Carter, Ray Fittipaldi. Ray, let's take a look at this NFL draft quarterback class, because I think some people are saying, well, wait a minute. If the veteran isn't there, just go draft the guy. And listen, I hear that, but it should be done in a situation where you're taking a guy that you think can be the franchise quarterback. And this is an interesting year for the quarterback class, because I think going into the offseason, everyone agreed there were like three definite first rounders: Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels. And Caleb Williams and Drake May were kind of like the expected guys coming into the year. Jaden Daniels more so made his name because he was the Heisman Trophy winner and he had a great season for LSU for what he did. And people were like, you know, we could work with that in today's NFL. But then there's the class beneath them. And I think there's three quarterbacks underneath those three guys that everyone's talking about and thinking, can they sneak into the first round? There's J.J. McCarthy out of Michigan, who won the national championship, Bo Nix out of Oregon, and then, of course, Michael Penix Jr. out of Washington. And lately, J.J. McCarthy has been sneaking up into those first-round conversations. Some people are saying he'll go even in the top 15, and I think that people are looking at it like, well, wait a second. If there's four first-round quarterbacks in this draft class, why don't the Steelers try to get them? And Ray, just my opinion here, like, if the Steelers had a chance to trade up into the top five and get a Caleb Williams or Drake May, sure, but that would take a lot of draft capital to do for some quarterback-needy teams that are in that area. I don't think that that's going to happen. Jaden Daniels, I think, still goes in the top 10. You know, we'll see how far he falls. You know, you look at what Anthony Richardson got picked fifth overall last year. I'm just, but for those that are thinking, like, why not take a shot on J.J. McCarthy? if he falls to 20, which according to some people, he might not even now. I just don't think I've seen enough of J.J. McCarthy to justify that being a first-round pick when he was in an offense that didn't require him to do much.
Yeah, I mean, he certainly comes from an offense where he was handing the ball off a lot, and he had some weapons around him. Listen, Roman Wilson is a guy you're going to hear about, the receiver. He's probably second or third-round guy.
Yeah, he's really good.
Had a really good running back in Blake Corum, too, and obviously a really stout, very good offensive line. So everything was kind of set up around him to have success, and he had a great season. I'm not taking anything away from J.J. McCarthy's season. What you hear now in the first-round conversation with J.J. McCarthy is, and you're right, there is some momentum for him to maybe be a top 15 pick. I think I saw him in one mock draft, maybe even latter part of the top 10 or like number 12 or so. It's the intangibles. And I don't know if I'm investing a top 10-ish type of a pick just because a guy has intangibles. He's not the biggest guy in the world, right? I mean, he's not your prototypical 6'4", 220 type of a guy. He's actually
– He's 302. He's very much Kenny Pickett's size.
Yeah, I mean, and we kind of see that as far as from an injury perspective, that hasn't been kind to Kenny Pickett. So could he be better than Kenny Pickett? Yeah, he could be. But if I'm sitting in the exact same spot in the draft 2 years later, I'm not taking that guy again.
Right. And that's the other problem here is you look at Bo Nix and Michael Penix. They're the same builds. Bo Nix, 6'2", 217, also about to turn 24 years old. You know, a guy who's been in college football for quite some time, as has Michael Penix, who's also about to turn 24 years old. Both of them, 6'2", 6'3", around 215. That's Kenny Pickett's build. Michael Penix also, by the way, a very long injury history. And I say that as a person who liked Michael Penix for years, like in Indiana, I saw the things that he did there. That guy was a leader. That guy was a great player. And he's a great college quarterback for his time. And he did, I think he could be very proud of his career. I would not take him with an early pick in the NFL draft, even in the second round, even say right now. And so I look at that as like, do you want another version of Kenny Pickett to be your first round pick? Or do you want to build your roster with the positions that you've been needing? You know, getting another tackle to solidify your offensive line, get another center to solidify your offensive line, getting a top corner to pair with Joey Porter Jr., you know, maybe a top defensive lineman to pair with Keanu Benton. Those are all things you can do with that first round pick. And if you spend it on a quarterback that I honestly feel like you have less than a 50% chance of finding the franchise guy with the people that will be there, I just feel like you're missing the point. And instead, what might actually happen that works in the Steelers' favor is if, let's say, Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, J.J. McCarthy all go before the Steelers, that's four picks out of 20 that they don't have to worry about being at those key positions. And then you throw in wide receiver with guys like, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr., Romeo Dunze, guys like that. There's going to be a falling down of key positions like tackle, like corner, you know, center as well, where the Steelers are going to get a chance at a top guy that they don't normally get a chance at. And that's an opportunity that could be a pillar of what they're trying to build for this next, you know, decade or so that they really could take advantage of in this draft.
Yeah, Chris, you just mentioned four quarterbacks, three receivers. You know there's going to be at least two edge rushers who come off, so that's nine right there. You know the two left tackles for Shawnee and Alt will be gone. Mm-hmm. Already we're at number 11, and we haven't even discussed a cornerback yet.
Yep.
Or, you know, a defensive lineman like a Byron Murphy or a Jerzon Newton who might also come off in the top 20 before the Steelers pick. I know that's less likely, but you know edge rushers and corners.
Yep.
You're going to see a run on cornerbacks in the first round because it's like offensive tackle and receiver this year. It's a very good draft for corners. So you're going to see a run on corners too. So I'm with you there. Could it be a center? Could it be a right tackle that falls to the Steelers? Could it be a cornerback who falls for the Steelers? I've said from the very beginning, Chris, that the Steelers' positions of need this year matches up very well with this draft and what's coming out of the college ranks.
I agree. I want to talk more about some of those positions of need and which could take priority in the first round if certain things fall certain ways. And let's say there's running other positions that allow the Steelers to get top looks at different positions. We'll talk about that on the other side of this break here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Chris Carter, Ray Fittipaldi, stick with us. We'll be right back. Back here on the North Shore Drive podcast, Chris Carter, Ray Fittipaldo, talking all things Pittsburgh Steelers and looking at the NFL draft. So, Ray, you mentioned some of those key positions. We're talking corner. We're talking tackle. We're talking we'll throw center in them as well. And heck, we'll even throw defensive linemen, like, you know, defensive tackles, you know, 3-4 defensive end, those type of guys in there. Let's say that this draft falls very well for a lot of those positions, and you get to pick. You know, we'll take out, like you said, the Olufashano, the Joe Alt, the guys that are probably going to go top 10 at the draft. I'll even take out like a Talulis Fuaga. But let's say the Steelers are sitting there at 20th overall, and you have your pick of, say, an offensive tackle like J.C. Latham, a center like Jackson Powers Johnson, a defensive lineman like Trezon Newton, and a cornerback, say, like Quinion Mitchell or Terrion Arnold, where all those names, guys I just named, they're going in the first round this year. They're people that they would all be really good additions to the Steelers. But center, offensive tackle, defensive tackle, corner, what would be the priority in that situation? Because everyone looks at center as such a big need, but in today's NFL, you know, by the analysts of the world and the direction of the league's heading, some people are saying that's a less valued position than, you know, corner or tackle in this situation.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I would have to lean, of all those guys you mentioned, I would have to lean Latham or Powers Johnson. I just think, I don't see any holes in J.C. Latham's game. Really good in pass pro. He's a beast in the run game. It'd be a perfect right tackle for your future. Slide Broderick Jones over, and you're set at your tackles for years and years to come. So to me, like the Tyler Guyton, there's a little bit of projection there. Great athlete, but he's not a finished product. And I think as you get into the 20s with the tackles, Amarius Mims too, right?
Yeah.
Tons and tons of talent and athleticism, but very short resume of starting experience. So, again, I think you're looking at developing guys like Guyton and Mims, whereas with Latham, I think he's plug and play. I think he makes you better from day one. I would lean Latham in that scenario, but Powers Johnson, too, has that look of a guy who's going to be a long-term answer at center for you as well. I don't know if they could turn their back on that guy if they had a really high grade on him. So that would be a dilemma for me. But I of all those guys that you mentioned, you mentioned the cornerbacks as well, I would be very, very tempted to pick J.C. Latham if he was there at number 20.
I feel you on Latham. I love his tape. He's 21 years old. He's 6'6", 335. This guy is young. He's big. He's strong. And he's technically sound. Played in the kind of offensive line you want to have in the NFL, in the SEC with Alabama. And you're right. Him and Broderick Jones were monsters. And one thing that we've talked about a lot on this show and in other places as well, it's important for an offensive line. You really want two or three anchor players. When I say anchor players, I mean guys who – they're the difference makers. You look back at the 2010s, the Steelers had Pouncey and DeCastro in the middle of their offensive line. That's where everything fed off of. You know, Ramon Foster, good player, but wasn't like an all-pro like those guys. Villanueva, Calvin Beecham. You know, I'd say Marcus Gilbert was getting there if he didn't get hurt. If he doesn't get hurt, you know, and his career gets very much shortened, I think it's a whole different conversation for also what that offensive line could have done. But you look at the guys around them, they were able to have solid pieces that they didn't pay a whole lot to keep because they had those type of guys. And if you could have two tackles being those guys, then you could probably get away with having, you know, a decent center. And they still need to improve at center. Like, you know, Mason Cole with what he gave isn't what you want moving forward. But it makes it so that maybe you don't need the top center in the draft class this year if you have two outstanding tackles. And also, you know, Sam Mallow and Daniels, they were the two best offensive linemen, you know, that were consistent this year. I think Broderick Jones showed he could be the best offensive lineman of that group, you know, when he grows into his career more. But you're set at guard. So really, if you go out and maybe like you get like a good free agent center, maybe like Aaron Brewer, a guy who's worked with Arthur Smith, he was an undrafted guy who became like a really good center for the Titans and will be in free agency this year. You know, that could be a move there where center can just be a solid position for you while offensive tackle just becomes the outstanding positions for you, which in Steelers history, Ray, I don't think that's ever been the case. Like, you look at whenever I think back to Steelers legends and Steelers, like the greats at all the positions, you think of all the Hall of Famers they got at center and maybe Marquise Pouncey joining them with Dawson Webster and even like guys like Jeff Harding. You think of guards, Alan Fanick, David DeCastro. You know, they got guys going way back there, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, you know, cornerback, defensive line, linebacker, safety. They got all these positions. Tackle's like the one position, maybe tight end as well, but tackle's like the one position where you're like, I can't think of just some superstar player. Like, they don't have an Anthony Munoz in that category. And if that changed with this decade where they had Broderick Jones and J.C. Latham and they become the monsters of the new offensive line regime, that could be an interesting way to build your team moving forward.
Yeah. And listen, there's nothing to say that they couldn't pick a Zach Frazier or somebody in the middle of the second round if he's still there. Or, you know, I know Cedric Van Praan from Georgia is probably more of a late second, third round guy, but maybe you get a guy that could be an upgrade down the road at center, but he's not a plug and play type of a guy. So yeah, don't forget about Nate Herbig too. He's also on this roster. Should they move on from Mason Cole? They signed him to a 2-year, $8 million deal. $4 million a year is not throwaway money for an offensive lineman. So I think, you know, they would feel comfortable putting him in there in a pinch as well. So they would have some options if they do move on from Mason Cole. But again, you know, we'll probably find out in about 2 or 3 weeks if that's the move the Steelers are going to make.
I agree. You still have time to figure these things out. And that's the other thing. The Steelers aren't in a rush right now because they have this time. Like, some people are freaking out. Well, why haven't they done these things? And certainly you could look at, like, why is Allen Robinson still on the roster as an $11.9 million cap hit? But it doesn't cost them anything to keep him on for another couple of weeks while they figure things out. And that time will come like it does every year. And it's funny. We have this conversation every offseason. Like, why haven't they done this? Like, it's coming. Just, you know, things take time, man. Like, stop wanting everything right away. But, you know, you look at the opportunities that are there. I think that this draft class, this has the potential. Like, last year's draft class started off really strong. You know, you look at Broderick Jones, Keanu Benton, Joey Porter Jr., Darnell Washington, Nick Herbig, all five of those guys, contributors, some of them major contributors. If they can get another 2 to 3 guys that are like really good contributors from this next class, that could be the core that you start building, that you keep building around, and kind of carries this team into the next generation of Steelers. While it still has, like, you know, young guys on this roster, you know, like, you know, Najee Harris, Pat Freiermuth, George Pickens, you know, you look at guys like that, you know, Minkah Fitzpatrick's in his late 20s. You know, there's guys that can be on this roster for years to come and still be leaders for this team and be key contributors. So again, when we're talking about why the Steelers aren't trying to trade up and just go get a quarterback that everyone's not sure about, or going out and signing a guy or trading for a guy that's going to cost them chances to develop this, this is why, because there's plenty of opportunities in this draft class to address key positions of need with really good talent. And if you pass up on it, you might be looking at keeping yourself in where you're at for the next 10 years.
Yeah, Chris. I mean, everyone wants the home run. They want a big move up in the draft, go get a quarterback, make a big move. But if you just hit doubles at 20, a double in the second round, double in the third round, you're improving your roster in 2025, in 2026, in 2027. So if you have guys like Keanu Benton available again in the mid rounds, guys like Nick Herbig, who can come in and be a really good special teams player, quality reserve for you at outside linebacker, you know, those are win-wins for you. So I would expect the same type of draft for Andy Weidel and Omar Khan in year two. I don't think they're going to deviate much, even though a lot of people are getting impatient with the quarterback position.
Absolutely. We'll see just how patient the Steelers want to be with this period. Remember, we will be at the Combine next week, and we'll be covering things live there for you for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. We got one more show Friday that gets us ready for before we head on that trip. We'll do that with Brian Batko here on the North Shore Drive Podcast. But from Chris Carter and Ray Fittipato, thanks so much for tuning in to the North Shore Drive Podcast. Find us on your favorite podcasting apps and on YouTube. Like this video if you enjoy it. Subscribe to this channel to get all of the daily content that comes out from all of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette writers. Back Friday with more here on the North Shore Drive Podcast. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the North Shore Drive Podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all the sports coverage from the Post-Gazette that we have to offer, visit post-gazette.com.